Yo, listen up, here's the story about a little guy that lives in a blue world. And all day and all night and everything he sees is just blue, like him inside and outside.
What is up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls? You are listening to the first ever episode of Miss the Bus. Woo, come on, round of applause on that. All right, so we're going to get right into this shit. We're a new podcast. We are a group of six friends. That's right, six.
Are we?
Are we?
Is there six?
If you got the math for me, we are a group of six friends.
I didn't know if you were friends.
We are.
Okay.
And we all love pop culture. We love movies and TVs and video games and all that good shit. So basically, each week, we are going to come at you with news and topics and reviews and all that good stuff. I'm your host. My name is Tyler. And like I said, there's five other people, so we're going to get right into it. Matt, introduce yourself.
What's up? I'm Matt. Or should I do Matthew for this?
Matthew.
This is a chance 100%. To start a new
I'm gonna call you for me. Though. I will call you Matt just to spite you.
Okay, that's Matt. I'm sticking with Matt. Okay. But yeah, I'm excited. Always wanted to do this. Probably going to be real bad at it, but that's, you know, that's the fun. Let's go.
Okay, I'm Bailey.
Okay.
I'm doing real well so far. I think I'm going to be fine at this, but yeah, I'm super excited, and I think we are all going to be loved.
We're gonna do
everyone.
Big. We're gonna do big Long things.
Words. Big, yeah. Big,
huge.
Big,
we're gonna
huge
change the
things.
World.
Change the world.
Revolutionize.
Yes, sir. This is Omar. I'm also very, very excited to do wonderful things. Huge things.
Wonderful.
We're doing cool. Such great things for the world by
really
sitting
are.
Here
yeah.
like a bunch of assholes talking.
Exactly. But yeah, I'm very excited. Very excited to do this with these five other guys, two girls.
Well,
five,
no, there's
four,
it would
three.
Be
there's
other,
four,
thank you for specifying.
Three.
Fuck it. Fuck
so
it.
We got four boys. We got two gals.
And
oh,
then we have
okay.
the other two. The other two with us.
So there's eight.
Right. They're here, too.
That would
no,
be Angelo
I think,
and Mary.
Wait.
I want to say that Tyler counted it out right, and then you
I
just
did.
Added
I
two
did.
Imaginary people
there's six,
to it.
There's
no, I think
there's six in total, but we have the two extras that are not. They're the producers. Like, they're
right.
here. Yeah.
There they are. Those are the producers. Yeah. Right there. It's Angelo and Mary.
Angelo and Mary.
Hey guys.
Say hey guys.
Say hey if you want. All right, so yeah, like we all said, we're all excited to do this.
Mm-hmm.
We'll probably be bad at it, but like I said, this is something I've always wanted to do. We all love talking about this kind of shit, so.
I don't appreciate the whole we'll be it. Bad at it thing.
It's
we'll
be good. We'll
because
be good.
If we're bad, then this
exactly.
is it. This was the
we
first
might be a little
and
bad,
last episode of this.
Standards are set very low.
Yeah, exactly. Let them know going into listening to this.
It's going to be the worst.
Yeah.
So yeah, for today, basically, we're going to do some news and stuff that dropped this past week that we want to talk about and like some honorable mentions here and there. And then we saw last week the movie A Quiet Place, and we're going to talk about it because that's what we want to do. So y'all just want to go right into this?
Yup.
You want to go right into this?
Right
jump
into
right
it.
In.
All right. Here's some news. First on the docket, this comes over from IGN. On March 18th, Deadpool and Silicon Valley star T.J. Miller called 911 while riding on an Amtrak train from Washington, D.C. to New York City, claiming...
What is wrong with this?
That
I'm already laughing at
it's
story.
Ridiculous. Claiming that a woman had a bomb in her bag. These reports were false. According to TMZ, Miller was apprehended by FBI agents on Monday at LaGuardia Airport for intentionally conveying to law enforcement false information about an explosive device on a train traveling to Connecticut. The comedian was coming back to the U.S. after doing some shows in Canada. The article goes on to say, from an FBI document, it was reported that Miller was intoxicated, consuming two glasses of wine, two double scotch and sodas. The woman he was accusing said Miller was loud and belligerent and even made a comment about her hair. And
can I just say,
it's fucking ridiculous.
What happened to this dude?
He
was so much
we
fun.
We are in the downfall of TJ Miller.
Unfortunately. It's like, we had Silicon Valley. He was great. So much other
yep.
stuff. He went on to the Emoji Movie, whatever.
He went on to
we
it.
We supported him.
That was the beginning
him.
Of the downfall.
We didn't see it.
It's very
we,
bizarre.
And then now it's just, it's this.
I mean, yeah, it's, what do all y'all think about this? It's just ridiculous.
Dude, I think this dude is clearly kind of self-destructive. I don't understand what he was like at his height. And that was like his peak, basically.
He got big
now.
Really fast.
He did. And I guess that kind of is what happens when you
it,
don't
like,
know how
to
handle
to
the fame of it. But I mean, now it's like he's just going to fall from
the
here.
The thing is, though, maybe he's trying to do, like, I mean, he's in the headlines. He's getting his name out there
it's one
in
of those
the worst
things,
possible way.
It's such,
you
yeah,
like
it's
a,
such a stupid way to do
no,
that.
No, I'm not
though.
Saying
yeah.
he's a genius.
I mean,
genius
in today's day
se.
And age, that's like the worst thing you could
right.
possibly do is
exactly.
fake a fucking bomb threat.
What if he
right.
thought?
He didn't.
Genuinely thought.
He didn't.
That this
unless
woman
he was on some
and he thought
sort
he
of
was
drugs.
Saving everyone on that train. And then he was like, and fuck this woman's hair.
Wow.
Like,
this guy get it all.
I don't know. It's weird. I think, I don't know. At the end of the day, he's a comedian. He probably was fucking high or drunk and probably just thought it was funny. But you obviously can't do shit like that today. I mean, like, I don't know.
Fuck you, TJ.
It's weird. I still love the dude. I think he's hilarious. I hope this doesn't completely fuck him. I mean, he got released from jail on a $100,000 bond. I saw another article that was saying he could face up to 5 years if, like, he's prosecuted in a certain way.
Well,
so.
Yeah, because that's, like...
It's just going to depend how people so go hopefully about this, that basically.
Doesn't happen.
I mean, if he's smart, it's just going to... He'll let it die down and go into hiding.
Yeah, get out
like
the limelight for a little bit.
Like, every other person that's, like, dealing with stuff like this.
Do more CG characters, like, in Ready Player One.
he was funny.
People just can just try to pretend like they don't know who he is. Just lend your voice. Yeah.
All right, number two on the docket. This comes also from IGN. After weeks of impressive returns at the box office, Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, has surpassed Spider-Man and become Sony Pictures' highest-earning domestic release. It made $403.714 million at the box office, and it officially unseated Spider-Man.
Fuck that.
I'm guessing that's the first Spider-Man, which made $403.706. So it beat it not by too much. But I don't know. This is a pleasant surprise. I doubted this movie so much. Yeah. I'll go on record saying I thought it looked fucking stupid, and everyone was like, no, we gotta all go see it.
Well, I feel like anyone who liked the original saw this and was like, this is a horrible
idea. It's heresy.
Right. It looks like a completely different
kind
of movie.
But it was so much fun.
It's funny. Yeah, I thought it was one of the funniest movies last year. Like, right. The Rock, like, everybody's so funny in it. It's just a dumb, stupid movie.
The Rock
movie.
Is literally The Rock in every movie he's in. I'm saying he plays the same type of character.
But it was like different though.
Well, actually,
in
this movie, his character, right, exactly.
Yeah.
He's like,
it was
shy, scared,
it was different,
and everything.
It's still, I don't know.
It was cool. I don't know.
It's just
like
I don't think I'm ever going to dislike anything.
Right.
The Rock
yeah.
Is
I mean, it's always
like,
just like
I will
fun.
Always, he's
yeah.
got that smile that you're just like, that's, you know what? Yeah. You sucked me
he
in.
He just doesn't whoa, take whoa. Anything seriously. And it's probably just like people probably call him and are like, Rock, will you do this? And he's like, I'll do it.
And that's smart. I mean,
well, yeah.
Look how
I
many
mean,
movies he's put out in right, the past, like, yeah. 2 years.
I was going to say, he's one of those actors, basically, where he just makes movies and you get people to go see him, yeah. even if they don't look that good. Although Jumanji ended up being, yeah, like you said, very pleasant
I feel like by
surprise.
The end of my lifetime, he'll have been in more movies than movies I've ever even seen.
Right. It'd be too hard to keep up with everything.
And then possibly the president. So.
Oh, I would vote
for him. He's a busy
him,
man.
Honestly.
Busy man.
Kanye and Dwayne Johnson.
Yep.
That'd oh my God! Do you think Kanye would be his vice president?
You think Kanye would be somebody's vice president?
No, you're
I
right.
think
not
yeah.
at all.
It'd be a fight to the
It'd
finish.
It'd be his wife or something.
Jesus. He'd be the first lady. Oh, I think
oh,
Kanye.
My
God.
No, like his wife would be the first
Kanye
lady.
But the first lady of the
no,
United States.
No, she'd be
wow.
the first lady, but she'd also be, you know, yeah. vice president. VP. All right, so yeah, that's a fun little story. Number three, this is something that I
was it because you seen. Like,
yeah, Jumanji's. Yeah, Jumanji was a fun movie. It's. I mean, I like Spider-Man more than Jumanji.
Hell
I'll
yeah.
give you that, Omar.
I like
it
that,
is,
thank you.
It is, you know. All right, so this next one's kind of interesting. Jake Gyllenhaal has shot down a rumor that he will be replacing Ben Affleck as the Caped Crusader. During an interview with China News Asia, that almost sounds made up, but I'm guessing that's, I don't know. Gyllenhaal was asked point blank if there was any truth to last year's report that he was the Batman director, Matt Reeves' first pick to take over. This is the funny part. This is a quote from him. Wow, that's a very difficult question, said Gyllenhaal. The answer to that question is no.
This is such bullshit. This is just dodging it.
You really think
it.
So?
Yes.
Oh, you really think no. so?
I do. I completely think. Because we're very divided on this, right? But some of us think the DCU should just end. Some of us think it should keep going.
I don't even know at this point what I think.
Clearly, Warner Brothers does not want it to end. They're going to keep going. But we know Ben Affleck's out. So somebody's got to go.
Is that like a for sure thing, though?
That he's out? That he wants out?
Yeah.
Okay, that he wants out is one thing, but is he...
I think there's...
He's showing up to like his kids' birthday parties and stuff like that as Batman stuff. Right. He's doing all that still.
He's just milking it, though.
But is he?
Yes.
I feel like there's no way he's going to continue to do movies as Batman just because he like is obviously not putting forth any effort.
He's not putting forth effort. He's also a lot older than a lot of the people doing these movies.
Right.
And also, it's just... I mean... They haven't gotten like the best reviews, and he wants to be making good movies.
Right.
It's I think it's the director side. And
that's
probably
the thing.
Season is like
he wants
this.
Out. He just doesn't want
what
to be in it
anymore.
What
would they do? I mean, would they? I don't know. Like restart?
People, there's all these theories. People like, think. People
it?
Think either just like stop what they're doing right now, but keep some of the cast. Like make like you can make another Wonder Woman movie and like
right.
That movie
exactly.
could still
be
a part of the canon because it's not like anyone else is in it besides her.
Exactly.
So
I mean,
like,
I've heard like a lot of things about maybe like they restart the whole universe through Flashpoint.
That's what
know.
They should do.
But see,
yeah,
and
but
that,
probably not.
That thing is more of like the comic book people saying that's what they should
right.
do because
they should
it
do
makes
it.
Sense and it could work. But I don't think.
Is it accessible to everyone?
It's not. And that's the thing. Like average moviegoers are going to be like, what the fuck is going on?
Right.
This makes no sense to me. Why is Jake Gyllenhaal Batman?
I don't know. It's one of those. Just, it's one of those things. Like, I really enjoy all these movies aside from Suicide Squad. I think they're fun. I think the characters have good chemistry. But it's like all these news stories you see that come out before and after and during.
Oh, for sure. It
kills like the mood of everything. Yeah. The movies, I'm sorry, you can argue that they're bad, but they're not like that bad. Like, they're better than so many other.
I think,
like,
we all can agree, though, that it is heartbreaking that it's not working out with Ben Affleck. It is. I think we all very worried.
Yeah, I mean,
he's the person that I want to be Batman.
I mean, look at his chin.
When they,
it's perfect.
It's perfect for the mask.
Look at his chin.
I'm just saying. You look at it and you're like, man, what a good chin for Batman.
That's my Batman.
The first time they showed,
he looks just like
the first time they showed him in the suit next to the Batmobile in a black and white picture, I was like, I'm so on board.
It's my fucking phone background.
Yeah, that's cool.
Okay, well. But no, I mean, it's disappointing that they're saying Jake Gyllenhaal is saying no. I wouldn't be surprised if it was just him saying that to, like, get attention off of it. But at the same time, I think about it sometimes, and I'm like, no, I can't see Jake as Batman.
Here's the thing. What's he going to say? He's going to say yes? He can't say yes. None of it's confirmed.
And he can't be like, oh, I don't know.
I think it's weird how long it's taking to even, like, get all this out. Like, Comic-Con's in what, like, a couple months? Mm-hmm. They have to say something.
And maybe that's when we'll actually find out for sure. But I just think they don't know yet, or they're just not ready to say
what
it.
What if at Comic-Con, Jake just comes out on stage in the suit? How cool would that be, though?
They wouldn't spoil that.
No, I know. But it would be freaking cool. It'd get some butts in the seats.
What?
Yeah.
Get my butt in the seat.
Okay.
There you go.
Well.
But yeah, that's a not fun story. We all love Ben Affleck, and I don't know. It's heartbreaking to see the DCEU like that, but it is what it is. Moving on. Thoughts on all the live-action Disney movies coming into development. So I think Bailey put this on here.
I did, because I didn't realize how many.
There's a lot.
Like, they're talking about, which I know everyone knows about, Mulan.
Yeah.
I mean,
we can kind of combine. Oh, that's on. Never mind. It's a sub thing on it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I think Mulan's the one that's been talked about the most in media lately, because they've been doing all the casting for
that. And they're not making it a musical.
Well, they're doing Aladdin. It's not a musical anymore.
Yeah, that's what I'm
thinking. Thank God.
Because the music in Mulan, I don't know. I loved Mulan so much.
I think the music is perfect.
My mom, shout out to my mom, Nora. She loves Mulan.
Are we doing that?
That's great.
I just wanted to shout her out real quick. She loves Mulan.
Like all those Disney movies, the music is like great. And it's so hard to take it out. And that's what was cool with like Beauty and the Beast. Like, they added some stuff in there, but they kept
a lot of the original
music. A lot of people complain that it was the same movie, but it's like, who the fuck cares?
But
the
it's supposed to be.
The music's awesome. Like, why are you going to complain about that?
The thing is,
they added stuff to the plot that was great.
There's just so many, because I think I saw something about them doing a live action Ariel too.
They are doing that.
Right, which it's just like all these Disney movies I love so much. And I just don't think, especially like Jungle Book, lucked out. So good. I loved live action Jungle Book. And they're making a second one because it did so well. Aladdin, see that
Guy Ritchie.
I'm not sure how I feel about Guy Ritchie doing it.
Well, because he has such a style. It's cool. I love that Will Smith is going to be Genie.
Yeah.
I hope this is like his comeback, because like not that he's not like not that he's not relevant, but like a lot of the stuff he comes out with it's not that great.
What
was
the last thing that he was in?
Right.
Jinx.
Which wasn't like the worst movie, but it's not.
I forgot I can't jinx.
I don't think you should jinx this one.
It's like a habit for me to say it. I'm sorry.
To everyone listening, this friend group jinxes a lot, and it's ridiculous.
We passed a new rule last night, didn't we?
What's the new rule? Okay, so the new rule is if two people say something at the same time, so if you and Matt, Tyler.
Yeah.
Tyler and Matt said Bright at the same time, I could jinx you, and both of you have to shut up until I say.
Oh, so there's a third party.
There's a third party now.
That's pretty good.
The thing is, that won't really work while we're talking about things on here, unless I just jinx everyone, and then I'm the only one who can talk. I'm just saying, though, like, if all three of you said something, I jinx, I talk for the rest of the podcast.
You think we'll keep jinxing each other for like the next like 30 years?
You think Will Smith will keep jinxing us?
Yeah. And then they'll make a movie about us, like the Tag movie.
Yeah, but just with Jinx.
That'd be pretty good too.
Cool. True story. Yeah.
I'm liking that. But yeah, I want Will Smith's comeback to be as Genie. I think that would be amazing. But I don't know. I'm just like iffy about all these live action movies.
I think Winnie the Pooh's gonna be great. Or Christopher Robin, I should say.
Oh yeah.
It's gonna be fucking great.
Yeah, the trailer looked good.
I'll go on record right now. It'll be fucking great.
On record.
They're also making a new Peter Pan movie, right? Which I mean there's
why'd you say it like that?
Peter Pan.
Peter Pan. Making a new Peter Pan movie.
They got the Peter. They have so many live action Peter Pan movies at this point though. Which
I've actually liked all of them though.
I have too.
Like from Hook to Pan.
Well, Hook is a classic.
Hook's great. And then they had that the one with the kid with the curly blonde hair. Do y'all know what I'm talking
about?
Yeah,
Peter Pan one.
Yeah.
Is it called Peter Pan?
It might be called Peter Pan, but...
Yeah.
Okay, that's enough.
But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff...
I'm just saying, I love that movie.
There's a lot of
enough about that
There's a lot of stuff in the works. Mulan, it's weird because it's not a musical. Christopher Robin looks good. I don't know. They're also doing the Pinocchio... Tim Burton, which could be... Danny DeVito is going to be in it.
Oh, I love it already.
It could be cool.
Him and his troll feet.
All right. Those troll feet. This next one, Toy Story 4, got a release date, official. June 21st, 2019. But do we need this movie?
You know, I saw the do we need this one here, and I thought it meant, like, do we need to talk about this?
I think we should talk about it.
No, for sure. Because, I mean, that's, like, such a... People are so divided on that. I mean, the thing with Toy Story is... I feel like they are going to make Toy Story movies for as long as they can, but they're going to spread them out far enough to where it's always going to be okay.
It can, because 3 worked so well because the time had passed, so Andy was older, and they could actually make a good plot point out of it. And that, I was thinking about the other day, when did Toy Story 3 come out? Like 2011?
Yeah, I mean, it was a while ago.
It's been a really long time. They could do something else with Andy. But
right.
They're saying it's going to be like they're looking for Bo Peep. Because she wasn't in the third one, and that's what it's going to be more about.
Well,
I'm sure they could work in other shit, too.
They said basically the story for this movie is so perfect that if they... And this could also be marketing. Yeah.
Really?
I can't remember who was saying this, but they basically said, like, if we didn't have a story like this that was worth telling, we wouldn't come back and do it.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. But I really do think Toy Stories makes them so much money.
I'm not going to ever doubt Pixar. I like pretty much everything they've ever done except for Cars 2.
Yeah.
So. And I can complain about not needing Toy Story 4, but I know the fucking week it's coming out. I'm going to be excited.
Dude,
I think we'll all be so excited.
Yeah, and like you said, if it's like spaced out as it is, I think it should be fine as long as it's not like every 2 or 3 years.
What's the thing? We don't need Toy Story movies every 2 or 3
years. Exactly.
But if we get one every like 8 years?
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine like when we have kids and it's like going to see a new toy? I don't know. I think
it's really cool how they've done it. I mean, they've been coming
I'm
one of those things you just don't want to like oversaturate. But
20 years of Toy Story. Like, that's just nuts. It's cool.
It is.
All right. Next thing on here, we got some trailers this week. We got a new Solo: A Star Wars Story trailer and an Incredibles 2 trailer. What do y'all think about those bad boys?
Dude,
honestly, I love both of them. I know Matt is not a huge fan of the man who's playing new
Nobody is.
The thing is, I don't really have a problem with
him. I don't either.
I think everyone's going to be pleasantly surprised, but
I want to be pleasantly surprised.
Because listen, you have to get out of your mind. He's not going to sound like Harrison Ford. He's not going to look like Harrison Ford. We're all going.
But that's my whole thing. We don't.
Yeah,
need
I know,
it.
And that's
we
the problem. That is the problem. It's oversaturation.
No, I understand.
You don't
completely.
Need the movie, but if they're going to give it to us, like just go into it without the mindset that like thing. Oh he doesn't fucking this fucking suck. Like it might be all right. It might be fun.
I think that's the thing though. I'm only looking at this movie as like a fun like heist movie. I'm not looking at it as like
and Woody Harrelson.
That's the thing. They've stacked the cast so much now.
Donald Glover. I think is going to be perfect as Lando too. So
and because that's the thing too. Lando looks. I mean, he looks great as Lando. But like when he talks in the trailer, he doesn't sound like him at all. And no one's complaining about that because it's Donald Glover and everybody loves Donald Glover. But it's not the character Han Solo.
That's the thing.
Right.
He's just
but
so
it's the
iconic.
Same thing.
So
like no one looks like.
I think
that.
A lot of
like,
this movie too. It's going to be so great visually.
Yeah, and I mean Ron Howard's a good director.
Can they get a new logo though? They need to get rid of that.
Everyone's making fun of that. Too.
I mean, the logo. Yeah. I could have made that logo.
Yeah, it looks so
in
good.
Paint. I could have just fucking like made a few frames.
It's
go.
Like the day of the trailer dropping. They were like, "Shit, we didn't make a logo."
I thought the bad,
it's too yellow.
The bad part, but the logo, not the logo itself, but the way it like shows
it
up in the
flips.
Trailer. It's like when you're in fucking like seventh grade and you have to make a PowerPoint with goofy transitions.
It looks like
that.
They look like they used a PowerPoint transition. I don't get why they're doing that.
It's
because
weird.
When they showed the first, was it during the Super Bowl? They showed the first ever trailer.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, that looks a little ridiculous, but they're going to change it. And they still could, but I mean, now it's like, wow.
Both trailers,
why
though,
does it still look like this?
Fun trailers. All the sound cues with the knobs and stuff.
Oh,
like,
so
I mean,
perfect.
I think the new trailer makes it look awesome.
Cool.
I'm so on the fence about this movie.
And then Incredibles 2. I know.
I'll be surprised.
Omar probably has a lot to say about that.
I mean,
he's the biggest Incredibles fan here, probably.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm very, very excited for
Bailey
it.
Made a face at me. She's a big fan. We're all big fans of Incredibles. I mean, same thing.
Incredibles
Pixar.
Is my favorite Pixar movie.
Dude, same.
Really?
It is.
See, I love The Incredibles, but I haven't seen it in so long.
Dude,
and I think
it's so good.
It's been
I'm
my
so
favorite one
it,
since I was little.
I'm very, very excited. I don't know if you guys know. I think it's the same day that they're dropping the game, the Lego game too, which we haven't seen a trailer for yet. So I kind of want that. But because that's going to be based off of the first and second movie.
Yeah.
And then apparently like there's other modes, I think, within the game. But I mean, I'm very, very excited for it. The second trailer looks fucking awesome. So, all for it.
One last thing, just going to kind of fit it in. God of War reviews are in. It looks great. And also, there's a new BioShock in development, apparently. Matt, you could probably talk about that for like a minute.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to go like too into detail. It's just something I've been like craving. I think we all have been craving BioShock for so long.
BioShock's probably like my top five games.
They've kind of hinted at, just real quick, they've kind of like hinted at it for the past few years that there will be more BioShock games. But Kotaku had like a whole thing basically where they're saying that, I mean, there is something in development. It's called Project... Fuck, where is it?
X.
Project at Parkside.
Parkside. Yeah, that's it.
I don't know. Stuff like this just gets me so excited.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool because it's that studio that did the first two BioShocks close, or the one and then Infinite closed, and then...
Oh, yeah, because so we'll two see. Was different people.
It was, that's yeah. Right. It was just like 2K and yeah.
I mean,
else.
I'm playing through Prey right now, and I'm getting like sort of my BioShock fill.
Yeah,
but
it is.
I want a new one so bad.
And there's a lot of new suits for the Spider-Man PS4 game.
Hell
that
yeah.
Looks fucking awesome. Look so
and the
good.
Iron Spider, that's
dude,
so
cool. I'm so glad that they're
so good.
Yeah, lots of cool shit. Lots of cool
Omar
shit.
Literally said he only bought a PS4 for that game.
Yeah. No, I mean, I 100% did.
And dude, it's for good reason.
Insomniac
makes perfect.
They are the perfect studio to be doing this.
They are.
So, very excited about that.
All right, so now the next part of the show, we're going to get into some honorable mentions. And this is usually going to be just stuff either we're watching or just playing or whatever. Just stuff we're doing throughout the week that we just kind of want to mention that's fucking awesome. So
that's always where I finished with, like, my report cards was honorable mention. You know, like, not honorable, but, like, right under it. Like, you're sort of good.
Like some
Did y'all have
like
that?
Some C's?
Yeah, like a few C's in there. No, actually, I think honorable mention was, like, B's and A's.
Alpha and beta. Yeah. That's how it was at my school.
Mm-hmm. I think I had that for a little while.
All right, so, Matt, what you got?
Dude, okay. So, most of... I'm not going to get into spoilers for this. Unfortunately, there are people in here that haven't seen Breaking Bad.
It's a sin.
That is so sad to me. Anyway, I rewatched Breaking Bad the past few months. I think it was the second time watching it all the way through. So that's what I've been spending my time doing. And I have to say, I respect this. I mean, I always loved Breaking Bad, but I think I've seen so much stuff since then. And Breaking Bad is always one of those shows that's talked about so much that I kind of forgot how good it was. I was kind of like, man, just everybody loves Breaking Bad. But there are other shows that I think are like so much better, but watching it through and just seeing everything again and just certain things hitting me the way they did, I mean, I just think no matter what comes out, and Breaking Bad is so popular, but I just still think it's always just one of those like top three like drama TV shows. It's just so fucking good.
100%. It's one of those things too, like once you finish it, you're kind of just like, what the fuck do I do now?
Yeah,
like, what do I watch now? Because it's just like, it's such... You get such like a high from it. Like,
oh, you do. It's just some of the best character development like I've ever seen. I mean, everybody's on different, you know, stances about like, do you like Walt? Do you hate Walt? It's like whatever. But I think everybody can agree he's one of the most interesting characters
interesting.
In a TV show.
That's
just
unanimous.
Straight up ever. Yeah. And I think also having watched what we've seen of Better Call Saul now, it just adds so much more to Saul Goodman's character. It's just like, I don't know. You feel so much worse for him when everything in Breaking Bad kind of
it's
unfolds.
Shocking how well those two shows go together.
They really
because
do.
Normally when you make prequel sequel shows, it's kind of just like, what the fuck ever. But
when they announced
it
Better Call Saul, we were all like, do we really need this? Do we want this?
And yeah, and I would definitely
well,
say
Bob Odenkirk also He's just great. In general makes it to where you actually like I didn't care about Better Call Saul.
Star of the Post.
Oh, good.
That's what he's known for.
And but
incredible.
Incredible.
It actually made me just like care about it, like to even try it out. And I mean, it ended up like exceeding expectations.
Oh,
so.
For sure. Yeah. I was also going to mention Silicon Valley season 5, which I'm loving so far, but I haven't seen the newest episode. So I feel kind
I
of
have.
Like
I've only seen the first one, but it was funny.
And I'll tell you the second one, funny.
Well, second one's
that's
funny.
Great. That's the third one. That warms my heart because this pertains
that's
to
what
the whole
I said.
TJ Miller.
Oh wait, there's a third
too.
One.
What's it? Yeah.
Wait,
okay.
Have
Bailey.
I seen a third one? Do you oh wait, I have. I have
TV shows.
Oh,
weekly, every Sunday.
Whoa.
Okay.
No,
the funny thing
I have
is,
seen
we tried to record this podcast a week ago and we fucked it up bad.
Yep,
so
we're redoing it.
Kind of throw that out there, but we had the same conversation last week about episode 2, and Bailey was like, "There's a second episode." It's like it does come out every Sunday.
Same thing happened this week.
Same thing. You're right.
Anyway,
total
so I didn't,
difference though. I actually have seen the third episode, and it is really funny. Actually,
it's hilarious, and I think a lot of us to go back to the whole TJ Miller thing. We thought with him leaving, it wasn't going to be as good anymore.
Funny.
But it's very funny, and I like what they're doing with the whole how he left and kind of pretending that he's. Now I won't get into it because again, not
it's great.
It
warms
great.
My heart.
And then real quick, even though I beat this a few weeks ago now, Shadow of the Colossus. I recommend this to everyone. It's so good.
I'll probably buy it soon.
It's a game I played when I was a kid, the PS2 one, and it's very, like, the controls sucked. The, like, frame rate was all over the place. It just kind of, you know, it annoyed you, but it was still great. It was, like, ahead of
time. The controls are kind
of
just weird.
But basically, the remake, they fixed the controls. You can actually...
Well, I that's what I meant, like, for the first one, the controls
right.
are kind of, like,
and
dated.
They're, like, purists, because you can even switch the controls back to the old ones,
fuck
and
that.
There are people that do that, those sickos. But it's really cool. I love when they're doing with games now where they're just straight up remaking them. It's not a remaster. Yeah, it's the same, like they're taking these games that are like, they're people now that would never play these games because they're so old.
Yeah.
And they're basically remaking. They're doing such a good job with it.
That's probably what they need to do with like Metal Gear Solid, because those games, those games are awesome, but they're not accessible in any sort of way. Like I understand when people say they're too hard to play. Same thing like what they did with Crash Bandicoot. Like those first couple games are like, the first one for sure, it's just very rough and it's very like, the controls are just, I don't know, it's hard to get used to unless you played it like a ton as a kid. But the remakes, like they tweak it and they make it a little bit easier, and like just the way the jumps work, it just works better.
I think Baymax as well.
Yeah, we have a stuffed Baymax.
I've seen Matt play some of Shadow of Colossus, and it's like visually, it's so
what's crazy
good.
Is, I mean, this is awesome. One of the best looking PS4 games I've ever played, and to think that this is like a remake of an old game, it's just so cool.
Yeah. Love remakes.
I recommend it to everybody. It's really short. I mean, you could play, there's not a lot of extra stuff
there's
to do
something
in it.
So comforting about playing these remakes, because it's like, it's something you're already familiar with, but you know.
Yeah, but yeah, that's what I got.
All right.
Omar, what you got?
I didn't really have a lot of time this week to watch or play much, but New Girl Season 6 dropped on Netflix. I was going to start that, but for some reason, and I have no idea why, I started The Office UK, which I did. I started about like 2 years ago, maybe, watched the first season, and that was about it.
What do you think?
I'm halfway through Season 2, and the sense of humor, man, it's not...
That's what everyone says.
Okay, so the American version, obviously, like, there's multiple sense of humors. There's multiple characters you could, relate to. A
lot of characters.
Exactly. The UK one, there's, like, 3 or 4 main characters. Everybody else you don't really care about.
Right.
And sense of humor is just kind of...
It's just British.
Yeah, I guess
really,
so. I mean,
it's dry.
It's different from all, yeah.
Right. I wouldn't say it's horrible. Like, I mean, if you guys have never seen it, you know, whatever, try it out.
Yeah.
But...
I think I watched the first episode.
I haven't even tried.
Yeah, and I mean, I told you the other day, I feel weird when I'm watching it. I don't know.
It makes you
and
make
I just keep watching.
I think it's because also like we love the American version so much, and it's like this almost feels wrong watching something
it's like
else.
Well, that's the thing.
I watched
the UK one before the American one. Like I saw the whole first season, and it's not that I hated it. I for sure can't say I liked it. It just, I don't know. It's weird, but that's really about it. That's all I've been watching this week.
I want to say I do feel obligated to just watch the UK one.
You should just check
it
out.
I don't. Yeah. I mean, it's short, so you can easily.
Right. Yeah. It's very easy to watch. So
I'll do it at some point.
Yeah. But that's about it.
It's on Netflix too, right?
It is. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir.
All right. I got some mentions. I saw 2 movies this week. I saw Blockers.
You mean Cock Blocker?
Whatever you want to call it. There's a fucking chicken in the logo. But
it's
I guess
it's not a chicken.
It throws me
a rooster.
Yeah, whatever. Rooster, chicken.
It throws me off so much when it's... I mean, I know it's called Blockers. It's just...
Yeah.
But
I mean,
it's... I don't know.
I saw Blockers and I saw Isle of Dogs. For Blockers, I'll say, surprisingly, pretty funny. I thought the trailers for this movie were fucking...
Oh, it's been getting great
weird
reviews.
Because basically...
I thought the trailers were fucking stupid. And like, I would say some of like the humor with the kids kind of like falls flat. For me, at least. Like, some people might find it funny. But like... The 3 parents in the movie, John Cena, Leslie Mann, and Ike Barinholtz, I think his name is.
I don't know how to pronounce his last
name. Ike Barinholtz. All really, really funny. So a really enjoyable movie.
It's funny because when Game Night came out, everybody was like, this is probably going to be the funniest movie of the year. Or just
what,
like,
Game Night?
Yeah, because like basically like those comedies don't normally get reviewed that well.
They don't, yeah.
But it's just crazy. Like here we are like a month and a half later and there's already a movie like this.
Cockblock, I would recommend it.
Would you say, because we saw Game Night, would you say it's funnier than Game Night?
It's just different. Like, Game Night's...
A different type of humor.
Yeah, because Game Night's, like, a whole... Like, both movies are just premises.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 2 completely different premises. Like, one is, like, they're playing this game, and it goes terribly fucking wrong, and, like, all this crazy, like, shady, like, shit is going on. But with Cockblock, it's just, like, these 3 parents just being fucking idiots and, like, overprotective of their kids. So it's, like, you can't compare the two, but, like, I'd probably say Game Night was better.
Well, Jason Bateman.
Right.
It's hard to
but,
not
But Blockers was
funny.
Like very like, it has its really funny moment, like really funny moments.
Right.
So I was pleasantly surprised. And Isle of Dogs, also very good. I actually watched all the Wes Anderson movies this past couple weeks. The only one I haven't seen is Grand Budapest Hotel, which people say is like the best.
I've never
seen that.
Poster
of it in my room.
That's funny because that's like the only one I've seen.
That's the only one I haven't seen, but Isle of Dogs also really good. And it was... I don't know if it's better than... Because it's the same style of Fantastic Mr. Fox where it's like stop motion animation. I don't know if it's necessarily better than Fantastic Mr. Fox, but like artistically and like visually and like the animation's way better. Like it is really awesome and I really enjoyed it.
I love Wes Anderson's style in general. Like it's between like him and Quentin Tarantino for like my favorite.
It's like childish humor, but in like it delivered in like an adult way.
Exactly. Well, that's
so
how Fantastic Mr. Fox is
right,
too.
Yeah. But yeah, really good. I'd recommend go seeing it. I hope maybe we can all see it and like eventually talk about it, because y'all would also really enjoy it.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely gonna see it this week.
So Bailey, what you got?
Oh, so I actually...
What's so funny?
Everything. Jesus. No, I'm kidding. I actually signed up for this like online course of like history of comics.
What do you mean course?
It's literally like a 6-week course, but you can Dang. It's like self-paced, so you can take it literally whenever you want.
But what do you do?
It just teaches you.
It's just knowledge?
Yeah. It's like, well, you take like, it's not really tests, because like you don't get like graded on anything, but right. It's pretty much just explaining like how the rise of comics happened. And at the end of it, you get a certificate signed by Stan Lee.
Really?
Oh, yes. Whoa, and that's literally awesome. The okay. only reason I was like, you know what? I'm going to pay the $50 it, extra dollars for this.
Okay, that's what I was going
to
ask. How much does
it cost?
Because
you can do it for free. That's not too bad. You can do it for free, but you have to pay for the certificate. And it's like, obviously.
That's dope, so it just tells you like the basic like origins and like.
Well, it goes through like, I think 6 different.
Eras or whatever.
Yeah. Of like what you are going to learn pretty much. But that's it's dope. Like through. What college is it? I think Indiana.
What's the website? This is like
I don't remember.
Yeah, throw it out.
That sounds
people.
Pretty cool though.
Yeah,
I'd probably do it.
Oh no, it's like super cool.
Because that's the thing. Go on record. Like I see all these comic book movies. We all do, but I've only read like a handful of just like big comics. So I mean, a lot of like knowledge that I have is just me sitting on like fucking comic wikis and stuff, and just like reading shit. Right. But I would love to do that.
I unfortunately don't have my laptop, so I can't pull up the website.
I'm
but
sorry, I'm
no,
using it.
It's totally okay. But I'm pretty sure if you just Google history of comics and the rise of superheroes.
I'll find it.
It's history of comics and the rise of superheroes course. Indiana. Just type in all those keywords, Stan Lee. But I don't know. I just saw the whole Stan Lee thing, and I was like, I want that. I want that hanging in my room.
Yeah, that's that's really fucking cool.
So
yeah.
bad. So but I'm like super excited for it, because I feel like I wanted to know more about it about comics anyway.
Definitely.
So,
I feel like it's always so hard to get into comics, because like a couple summers ago, I tried to like kind of do it, but it's just hard to keep up with. You kind of just have to pick up random shit like and just go from there.
Yeah, that's it, Matt.
You said 6 weeks.
5 weeks. Well, it's either 5 or 6. I can't remember.
No, I'm messing.
But yeah, that was it. Because it's, I don't.
It's too hard to find a website.
Yeah, sorry about that. But literally, if you just Google it, I'm pretty sure you could find it. It's pretty easy. A friend of mine at work actually sent me the link, and she was telling me about it. So, I immediately signed up and then paid the money that I don't have. But
you think your friend's going to listen to this podcast?
Probably.
Hell yeah.
I was like, hey, listen
Hell
to
yeah.
it.
Shouts to her.
Yeah, hey, Jess, thanks for tuning in.
Thank
I
you,
appreciate
Jess.
You, and so do the rest of all of us. So.
Nice.
But yeah, I don't...
edx.org?
Yeah, that's it, actually.
There it is.
edx.org.
Everybody check it out. Sounds
yeah,
cool.
I don't really have much else. I did start The Joker.
How is it? Nice.
I have not gotten too far into it, because I started it on a work night, like super,
that's
super
always
late.
How it goes.
So
honestly,
I have not gotten far.
When I used to try and read comics, that's how it would be for me too. I'd start at like
super
9 or 10, and then I'd go to bed.
I'm just super excited about it. So I will let everyone know how it is when I finish it.
It looks
eventually.
Cool. The art looks really fucked up.
Yeah,
it's
oh,
so cool.
Yeah.
Who's the author? Do you know?
I can't remember.
It's like the comic that's literally just called The Joker.
Yeah,
I think it's actually just called Joker.
Yeah.
Oh no, I think it's The Joker.
Yeah, it's got like a really fucking weird. I don't know, like his lips
no,
on the front cover
Joker.
Or something like that.
Oh.
It's really like
yeah. That's the. It's just like his.
It's so
he's
good.
Very. He's his style. Like he's stylized just like the Dark Knight. It's right. really cool. He's got the scars and everything. Although he's way more like brutal and kind of like vicious than in the Dark Knight. So
rated R.
Yeah.
Rated R.
Brian Azzarello.
Okay.
I hope I said his name right.
Everybody check it out.
But yeah, I don't have much else.
Y'all got any other mentions you want to talk about? Anything?
Oh, I'm excited about the new season of Legion. I haven't started it yet, but
everybody keeps telling me to.
I think it's a very, very weird show, but
I think I'd like it.
I think you would too, actually.
I'll probably watch this week.
It's super interesting, and like Aubrey Plaza's in it, and Tyler
Love her.
Loves
yeah.
her.
Love her.
So I feel like he'd super like that.
Oh, the way you just call me out.
Oh, just everyone needs to know. It's fine.
She's great. All right, so that's it for the news and the honorable mentions that we got for this week. So we hope that everybody enjoyed all that.
They didn't.
Next
Tyler's
part of the show.
The only one that hopes.
Can we take a quick break real quick?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, I have to pee.
Thank God.
All right, and we are back. So yeah, for this part of the show, like I said before or mentioned before, we are going to review A Quiet Place because we saw that last week. So yeah, we're going to do our initial thoughts first. It's going to be spoiler free. And then at a certain point in the show, we are going to get into spoilers and we're going to, I guess, warn everybody in the case y'all want to turn it off and not be spoiled. But hopefully if you're listening to this, you've probably already seen it.
I would say if you haven't seen this movie, do not listen to any of the spoilers because there's a lot of stuff that happens.
Yeah, so for me, I really, really, really like this movie. I think I probably liked it the least out of everybody else because I guess I kind of wanted it to be scary, but it's a really well-directed movie. The acting is obviously awesome. It's really tense, and like I said, that has a lot to do with how it's directed, but yeah, I really liked it. One of the better horror movies I've seen in a while, so yeah. Go for it, Matt.
Dude, I love this movie so much. And I guess going into it, I thought it was going to be scarier too, and I don't like horror movies. So I was kind of like, everything I'd seen about it, like trailer-wise, cast-wise, I was like, I really want to see this movie, even though I don't like horror movies.
Jesus, man.
His mic just attacked him. But I feel like, yeah, like none of us here are really too into horror movies.
Oh,
but
no, hate them.
It's accessible to if you're not, because it's more of a suspense kind of movie.
I feel like I just died when I hit my face.
Yeah.
But no, I thought it was going to be terrifying because everybody online was saying this movie is fucking scary.
And when you see like a 97 on Rotten Tomatoes,
yeah,
you're
like,
okay, fuck,
this must be like a really good horror movie, which I think it is. But we've all kind of said, I don't know if we'd classify this as horror.
It is a horror. It's just a thriller horror.
It's just way more along the lines of being a thriller movie.
It's hard for me to even, cannot stand horror movies. I'm just so bad with them. And I was not.
You've gotten better.
I have gotten better.
Can I finish my initial thoughts, you think?
Sorry.
Can I do that?
You do. I want you to do it, man.
Thank you. God.
I want you to do it now.
All right. Anyway, though, I loved it. I think this movie, as I was kind of saying, it's way more emotional than I thought it was going to be.
It's very captivating.
It is. There's just a lot to it. There's a lot going on. And I think, you know, you watch it and it's just more than I thought.
It's a smart movie.
I knew I was going to like it, but I had a bar and it exceeded that. So
right.
I loved it.
I'm happy.
Good. Okay. I also very much loved this movie. And again, I hate horror movies. So I was very pleasantly surprised that I could sit through this movie and not want to run out the theater because I've done that before. So
really, for what?
For one missed call.
Oh my God. Whoa. Who's in that? Is that fucking?
I don't even know. What was that when I was in sixth grade?
Didn't you run out of a haunted house too?
I got kicked out of
Murphy
a haunted
movie?
No.
Okay. No, didn't.
I got kicked out of a haunted house.
Oh, I'm thinking about
ran away.
Didn't you go across the street and just get a beer?
I just went and sat at a bar across the street. But either way, so I loved this movie. And it was extremely emotional and so heartwarming with a family. And I don't know. I even kind of teared up just at some of the stuff that was happening. And I don't know. All the acting is so amazing. Especially in a movie that has pretty much no dialogue, it's all through facial expressions. So,
and that's the thing, the movie's more about it's not as much about the monster or the horrors or
it's
whatever,
it's about family,
it's more about their relationships, right. And they build that into a good way.
I know Tyler apparently is it's a mediocre
he's
movie.
Not as emotional.
I hated it. No, I never said it was mediocre.
No,
it is very good. Whoa.
Oh my
Lord.
Whoa. Oh my God.
We're also recording this amidst a fucking hurricane, I guess.
Yeah, it's awful. Outside.
That was the worst though. That was
the
that
entire
was
apartment yep. just shook.
Yeah.
So
it was loud thunder.
And it flickered. There. You could probably hear it on the mic. Yeah. It was a little zap.
Yeah.
This is not a quiet place.
Wow. Kill me.
Wow.
I didn't like that.
Take me out of this world.
I didn't like that at all.
But I loved the movie. I thought it was amazing. So, and congrats, John. Yeah. You did great.
Yeah. Very good. Omar, what you got?
Okay, so I probably like horror movies the most out of everybody here. I watch them often. I think they're really cool. The concept for this movie I really, really liked. It was very simple. We didn't really know too much about the monsters or anything, the creatures, which I didn't mind at all. It was, like you guys said, more about the family.
Yeah, you didn't need to know.
Exactly. And it just worked. I do think if they were to ever make any other versions of it or whatever, when it releases,
please
I told you guys.
No, I hope they do not make any more.
No. You remember last week I was saying if they were to make a version once it releases without any scores.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I got
it.
Right. I thought you were
silent.
You're right.
Film.
No.
I thought we were getting into the hole because there probably will be a sequel.
No,
that
not
nobody
a sequel.
Wants
no,
to
no,
happen.
No, 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 no. When it releases,
yeah.
I think
no,
that'd
this
be
is,
really
this
cool.
Is cool.
Yeah, because the score, obviously, everything with that movie, I mean, you can't really say it was a horror movie, but it was very intense throughout. I mean, just in the first like 5 minutes, because, you know, they've got like all these rules and stuff that they're not supposed to break. So you're just like kind of waiting for them to... waiting for them to break it.
The movie answers your questions of like how the fuck they're gonna do this.
Exactly. And like, it just makes it so much more intense, yeah, watching it.
And that's what I mean when I say it's smart, and it is intense. And what's the most interesting thing about the movie is that usually when you go see horror movies, people don't shut the fuck up.
Oh my god.
Yeah. This needs to be said.
The theater that we saw, I mean, it was like dead silent.
And just from talking to other people that have seen this movie too, I think so many theaters are like ours. Because our theater was fucking packed. And it's like just, it was set up to be like, we know this is going to be a quiet movie. And
we saw it on opening night
the whole time. But really, nobody said anything. No. I mean, you hear more of like people's fucking like candy wrappers, like not even being obnoxiously loud, but you just hear this stuff.
Right.
And it's because everybody really is, they feel like they can't make any noise.
No, I was so proud.
It's like you're
of
trying to like unwrap something, and you know that thing where like you're waiting for like a loud part in the movie so that people don't hear you like opening up your fucking candy bar. But in this movie, there's like so little of it. And
I do that. That's like rule of thumb. Any movie I see, if I have like a snack or something, I wait till it's loud. Because then when it gets fucking quiet and you're fucking like rustling around, it's just
I saw X-Men and my fucking M&M.
the first minute of the movie, Matt opens a huge pack of M&Ms and you just hear them all hit the floor.
Oh,
like,
no.
Dude, they're all gone. And it wasn't even the ones I snuck. It wasn't like peanut M&Ms. So they were like the giant ones too.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like I snuck them in. So I got them for like 90 cents. I paid like fucking movie theater $5 premium price for them. And so then, they were just, you know, I think I maybe had like 4 or 5 of them left. What is all that? Is that rain?
That would be our fireplace.
That would be our fireplace.
Our fireplace.
Oh, your fireplace. That's right. We have to do something about that, but we'll do it after. Okay. So did everybody say their bit?
Yeah, I think so.
Let's
deep dive into this. All right,
we're going to deep dive into the spoilers. If you haven't seen the movie and you don't want to hear it,
turn us off.
Get the hell out of here.
Later.
But come back, please.
But hopefully, the movie's been out a week, so hopefully if y'all are listening to this, y'all have seen it. But yeah.
And if you haven't, go. Because it is so worth it seeing in theaters, honestly.
So Matt, I feel like you like this movie the most. Do you want to start off on this, like,
going through it? All right, so we'll summarize it, kind of like an extended summary where we'll just kind of talk about it
as we go through it.
On track, because we could be kind of bad with that if we don't. And okay, so basically this movie kind of starts off, you see this, you know, within like a gas station or like a fucking just like a little
convenience store. It's like a CVS.
Yeah, like a pharmacy.
Right, and so that, you know, complete silence. You know, you kind of get the point of what's going on. But anyway, so they're looking for medicine, I think, for the Marcus, so the middle kid's name, because he's kind of sick or whatever. So
the kid from Wonder.
That's right. He wasn't
one of the kids.
He's so adorable. I love that actor.
You turned to me during it. And you're like, is that the kid from Wonder? And I was like,
oh, yeah, I heard that.
He's in Wonder.
And then like two seconds later, I was like, oh, wait.
You were like, yeah.
He was in Wonder and he was in Suburbicon. And John Krasinski wanted him after he saw Suburbicon because he thought he was good.
Yeah, that's cool. Basically, then Bo, I think I'm saying is that none of these characters have names in the movie.
They don't say them,
but they do have actual names. So Bo is like the youngest kid.
It says it like on the credits and shit.
Right. And he finds just like a little toy rocket and he's like reaching for it. He gets it. And
what does he do?
Reaching for it. Oh, what does he do with it?
Yeah.
And so basically that's when Lee, John Krasinski's character, kind of shows up and he takes it from him. He's like, no, we can't use this. Dude, we got to be quiet.
You see the look in Lee's eyes when he sees his kid grab this rocket, and you're just like, oh my god,
I'm gonna say John because it's like when we saw the movie like a couple days later, I think Omar said something like about there, because their name are the Abbotts, right?
Yeah.
Omar said something about Lee Abbott, and Bailey was like, well, who the fuck, like, what are you talking about?
He's like, you have no idea who these characters'
they have last names
are.
So basically he takes the rocket from him, and they're basically leaving this place now. And I think the daughter, whose name is Reagan, gives the rocket. She takes the batteries out, right? Or no, John takes the batteries out, and she gives the rocket back to him.
And then the little kid, he takes the batteries himself. Right.
And this
no
is kind of the first point where you're like, okay, if you want to pick apart this movie, you could be like, why the fuck? Or do the parents not,
why
like, follow
one of
the
kids? Take the batteries?
Yeah, or just, because they just leave them on the counter. It's like, whatever. I think with like horror movies, you kind of just got to give in to some of those things. But basically they leave, and so you kind of just know, all right, well, he's going to put the batteries back in it, and that's exactly what happens. You know, they're crossing this bridge. Tell you what, though, that was a fucking intense way to open the movie.
Oh, for sure.
Because they're crossing the bridge, basically, and you just hear the toy rocket go off, which essentially is, I guess, the first real sound you hear. Yeah.
There it is.
And then you just know, we don't know anything yet about what I guess we don't even really know that they're monsters or creatures yet. I mean, aside from the trailers.
If you hadn't seen the trailers, you'd be like, what the fuck?
You'd be like,
right,
so what
on,
is going to happen?
Right.
And this thing just fucking darts out of the forest, kills the kid, And that's it. And that, I think, is so terrifying. It's just, there's nothing else to it. It's not like then they fight the fucker. Right. It's just like,
it's just gone. Just,
the kid's
it's
dead.
It's gone forever.
I love that. That's like how the movie started. Like, that's, you know, how it was set up or whatever. Because it's just like right off the bat, like there's shit, you know?
They're like, this shit's happening.
Right. And that was in the story. Sorry, not to interrupt. That was on day like 80
something.
Yeah,
that's what I was going to say. I think that was day
like
80.
Whenever these monsters first came. Right. And then basically after that, they do a time
which
jump
is awesome,
to like 3 something.
I'm glad that's how they start the movie, like on whatever, the 89th day, not like on day one.
Oh, for sure. Because,
I mean, the movie would be very, very slow, dragging. They'd be just,
it's
like
one of those
place.
Things where it's like, we don't really need all the backstory of that. Exactly. And I think there are people that see this movie and they're like, well, I want to know more about it. I don't get it. Yeah. And it's like, you're really just not supposed to get it. It's like, what explanation could you have gotten that would even satisfy
it's
you?
Not even.
I mean, we've seen it all before. I don't think we really need it.
And it's not even really a story that's supposed to be explaining these aliens or monsters. It's more a story of how this family is surviving in a world that's been attacked by something.
Exactly.
Right,
so
sure.
It really just needs to highlight what the family's going through, and people can get the hell over it. And don't know where these monsters came from.
What grips the audience and makes it to where people don't like talk and stuff like that and want to pay attention is too, because you are expecting, like, are they going to explain it? Like, and you want to keep watching because you're interested. So.
Right.
It just works out better not saying what.
But yeah, this little boy just got swooped up, and then it just cuts to the family at the house, and you're just like,
yeah, they do a time jump.
Yeah, they take like
so
a pretty
sad.
Big time jump. I guess it's what, like the equivalent of like a year and a half?
Yeah, about,
something like that?
About a year.
They go to like day, is it 300, 400 something?
It's four. I think it's 400.
It's four something, yeah.
But basically, so then you're in like their actual house. I think that's the first shot we get of like the dry erase board that's kind of got like John Krasinski's all like his
notes and stuff
about
yeah.
like what's fucking going on. I think that's when we find out there's, I think, three of them.
Weakness?
Like trying to figure out the creatures.
Oh, like
what is his weakness?
In there,
armor? But basically, he's got all these notes. And then you also see he's got kind of like all these little like fucking like earpiece stuff and like the diagram of like a human ear. And, you know, he's kind of working on stuff, which you assume. You know, his daughter's deaf.
His
so daughter,
yeah,
they're
trying
to build
movie,
like a hearing aid for her.
She's actually deaf, and she's actually deaf in real life too.
Yeah, well,
so
interesting.
Which
side
is
note.
Super cool that he thought to cast someone
right,
like that.
Specifically.
Yeah,
that's cool.
For sure, it definitely adds a lot to it. But then basically, you know, you just keep going over. We're seeing more and more of how they have to interact with their lives. Like, you know, the kids after they eat, I guess even when they're eating, they use like lettuce instead of plates.
Dude,
yeah.
Like, that's so cool.
Was it lettuce? What
it
was
lettuce,
like lettuce
yeah.
leaves. They literally had to put their food in. And it's like little things like that you don't even take into consideration,
if,
having to be so quiet.
I wonder if they ate the lettuce like afterwards.
Yeah, they just like eat the plate like, every time.
I was wondering that the whole time.
It's like a lettuce wrap.
That's kind of like how they serve food at Little Tokyo or something.
For some reason, like, I thought you meant like after they filmed the scene, they let the kids eat the fucking lettuce.
All right, we're done the scene.
Nope.
Get rid of that shit because we don't want it. Eat it right now.
Oh, man. But then, basically, it's really cool when you see kind of all the different things they have to, or ways they have to interact with this world to like basically just survive.
And they're playing a board game and all the pieces, like they're playing Monopoly and all the
it's
pieces
like
are like... Yeah, it's like cut
like
out
knick-knacks,
of like
but like stuff that it can't make any noise.
It's all soft.
That's really cool. And I guess that's when you get maybe like the first kind of like jump scares. When you kind of that might have been in the trailer too, but they knock over the lantern.
I don't think it was in the trailer actually.
It was the lantern.
It was in one.
Oh
of
man,
them.
I know nothing.
I mean, there was like three trailers. There was in one of them.
I think it's in it, but you don't even know the context of it. Like it's gonna happen right here. But basically, they knock over the lantern, and to be honest, what even happened? Why does that the?
It's just loud.
No, I know it's loud, but what happens to where they don't get fucking eaten from that? Did it go and get something outside instead?
John Krasinski's character just, like, he gets it out. Like, he puts it out really quick.
Right.
And they just stay silent.
Yeah.
And they
but
don't
doesn't
move.
Something, like, fall out of a window after that?
Oh,
like,
oh
he's
yeah.
looking outside?
It was an animal or something.
It was, like a squirrel or something.
Okay. Yeah, and then the creature kills it.
Right.
And it was a raccoon. That's when we first see him.
Right. But anyway, so we kind of get past that, and then we even get to that whole scene where, I guess, Lee is kind of, like, built the next version of the hearing aid he's gonna give his daughter, and you kind of get the sense that he's done this a lot, because when he goes to give it to her, she's very much, what does she say?
She says
it won't work, and they're signing everything,
and he keeps saying you have to try, and she's like it won't work.
And I love this scene too, because after doing that, like that whole exchange for about 3 or 4 times back and forth, he just like takes her hand and just gives
was
it to
that-
her. He's like, if you want it, then take it.
Yeah. Was that right after he stopped her from, you remember like when she was trying to, I guess, go down the basement or whatever?
Yeah, she was trying to go down the basement.
Oh, yeah, so you can't come down here.
I didn't really understand why he wouldn't let her go down there. I mean, it's not like there was like...
I kind of think that may play back into the whole thing about, like, we know he doesn't not love his daughter, but we know that he knows that she's the reason that Bo, the youngest son, is dead. And maybe he... I'm not saying like holds anything against her, but maybe it's just the whole thing. He's like, just don't be involved in all this
stuff.
I also
think it might have something to do with the fact that like that's where he was doing all his research.
I guess,
for
these
monsters.
Because it's like he told her you know why you can't go down there or something. I think.
Oh, he did.
That's
interesting.
I'm pretty sure
I don't even remember that.
I also thought, just to mention, like, it's super cool. It shows on, like, the staircase going down to the basement. They literally have, like, painted on, not, like, footprints, but it's, like, for where you need to step.
Right. Yeah. I didn't even notice that.
Like, the wood doesn't creak. Right. I just think it's, like, they literally have everything down to that, like, where you step specifically.
And that's what I love about this movie, because there's different points during it where you come up with a plot hole in your head.
Right.
And I think the movie resolves most of them as the movie goes on.
It's a smart movie.
It definitely is. So anyway, we get beyond that is when Lee is taking the middle, or Marcus, he's taking him basically out to, you know, scavenge for food and stuff. And then Reagan, you know, is kind of pleading that she wants to go. And it's kind of interesting because his son Marcus doesn't even want to go. He's like, can I stay? And she wants to go. And I guess you get into that whole thing where, like, the father is like, no, I have to teach my son. You know, you need to be able to do this. I think he even says, like, you're going to be able to protect your mother as time goes on.
His pregnant mother.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's true. It is, you know.
Poor Emily being so pregnant in such a terrible time.
Yeah. It's kind of like, why is she pregnant? Why did
That's the thing. The movie doesn't ever tell you. Like, it's one of those things, like, she's obviously just pregnant because it's like, they lost one of their other kids, so I guess they wanted to try again, and then, like, they prepared for it very well.
It's interesting to think about, like, did they plan? I guess they probably did plan to have a kid. Or was it just an accident? And as soon as they realized it, they started planning.
It could be either or. I guess you're just supposed to think it doesn't really matter.
And I think that's cool, too, because you can kind of go along either way. I guess, like, for plot, it would actually make more sense to think that it was just an accident, and now they're, like, fucked, and
that's
they have to figure it out.
That's what would make the most
sense.
Because
you would say, like, why would they even want to bring a kid in this
world? Because I don't see how two people could be like, yeah, we're going to fucking bring a kid in this awful world.
Exactly. Right, that's probably what it is, but it's cool to also think, like, because it does make sense, like, we lost a kid, like, and now we're going to do everything we can to make this perfect, and let's try to have another kid.
Which they even show, which was, like, such a sad scene, whenever they show, I don't know Emily Blunt's character's name.
Evelyn, I think.
Evelyn. Yeah. They show her sitting in the youngest son's bedroom, and she's just sitting there, like, in a chair, crying, mourning her dead son. It's such a sad scene.
It definitely is.
She's sitting there, like, super pregnant.
I mean, everything with that, obviously it was sad, but like I said, that it sets up the whole movie, because that also, like, you could tell, like, Lee, John Krasinski's character, like, that gives him more, I mean, not that he wasn't a responsible father prior, but that just, you know, makes him feel a lot more responsible that, you know, now he has to protect his kids.
Oh, yeah.
Now he has to protect his wife.
Oh, yeah.
He's doing all this research. I mean, we really have no idea what they were doing prior to this, like, new world or whatever they were throwing
into. I feel like they were probably just trying to figure out how the fuck to, like...
No, I mean, like...
What
are
we going to do?
Yeah, no, I mean, like, prior to the creatures or whatever. Like,
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, they seem really smart and knowledgeable. Even the kids, you know, like, whatever. So, yeah, now he feels a lot more responsible, and he's doing all this research, you know, just trying to figure everything out. And I think that kind of sets up the whole movie.
Oh, for sure.
Cool.
It definitely does. So then, you know, to kind of fast forward a bit, we get, you know, he takes his son out there. They get to this lake. Son is obviously very, like, cautious because he never makes any noise. And I guess this is his first time going to the lake. And I think John, like, tries to get one of them, John Lee, whatever. He tries to get, like, one of the fish, and it kind of, like, shoots out into the kid's, like, going for it. And he's like, no, don't worry about it. But then that's when he kind of can start saying, you get the whole thing about, like, you can make noise as long as it's lower than the loudest noise around, which is kind of like common sense, but at the same time, it just sets one of the rules for the whole film, I guess. So that was cool. And then as it goes on, they get, like, underneath that waterfall, and I guess this is, like, really the first lines of, like, spoken dialogue
they actually
in the
talk
movie
to each other.
Is when, like, he starts talking. And then I guess when you've got any movie where you've spent 45 minutes of it so far with no dialogue, and then you get, like, the first lines, it hits you no matter what, but I feel like just in this, it was like, I mean, when they're, I don't even remember exactly what he says.
Well, they start talking about, I think the son asks him, like, why he didn't let
his daughter,
like, Reagan, go with them or go in the room or whatever. And they kind of just, I think he even asked, like, do you hate her? And John Krasinski's like, no, like, obviously not.
Right.
Like, I felt like that part under the waterfall was, like, satisfying to a certain extent, just cause like you said, you know, they're quiet. They can't really talk. It was mostly sign language until that part.
The thing where they're, like howling.
Exactly.
And, like, kind of have fun
cool.
for the first time,
like,
too. And that was
movie.
So cool.
It was, like, a tense. It was very, very tense up until that part for me. And it kind of just helps you a little, just for a second, like, relax.
Well, his son is, like, terrified.
Right.
Even being under a waterfall, his John or Lee is literally, like,
and the thing
you
is,
can
I'm,
John Lee.
Right. And I'm
John,
sure.
Oh, John Lee is a cool name.
That's a cool name.
That is a
could
cool
have been the
name.
Podcast name.
Wow. John Lee.
And I'm pretty sure you guys like felt the same way, but as I was watching the movie, I mean, throughout like any scene or whatever, I'm just always thinking, how are they going to fuck up, or when are they going to fuck up?
Yeah, but in the waterfall, you kind of feel relieved.
Exactly.
It's like the only time you can relax for a second. Right. Yeah. Which is the same for this.
Which would have been the time to fucking hit us, but I'm glad they didn't.
Yeah. It's a sweet little thing in the movie.
It definitely is. I love that whole bit. So then basically they leave. And I guess this is another part where it maybe opens up. You see the lake and you're like, so why don't they just live by the lake? They could make a little bit more noise. Right. They'd be fine. And so you're thinking, well, at least go to the lake when she's pregnant. And so, again, your mind kind of develops this plot hole at this point, which down the line we get an answer for anyway.
Right.
But then we go and they leave the lake and they're going to another like kind of residence, which I guess we don't really, really talk about this. But there was a part prior to this where they light up that fucking flame thing. Yeah. Just a fire.
They communicate with other people.
Yeah, they kind of like just check up on each other.
They light up like a campfire.
And we don't know how often they really do this. It could be every night. It could be like once a week or once a month. But it's basically like they clearly have a set time with all the other kind of families they know are out there, where it's just like, light this thing up. We're going to look out and see who's still out there. Yeah. Well, that was kind of cool. So
it's like, hey, we're okay.
Yeah. So they have another place, I guess, they go to. I don't really remember what they were doing going there. Maybe they were going to give that family, husband and wife, like some food or something. And honestly, this, I think I've told y'all, this probably would have been the scariest part if I hadn't seen it in the trailer, where they're kind of the close up on the kid and he's walking through the forest and then you see the man just kind of like kind of stand up or whatever.
It's very
would have freaked me out, but you do see that in like the last trailer. So I kind of knew that was going to happen. Oh yeah. Cause basically that's when you see, so his wife was like dead. She obviously had made a sound at some point and they had killed her. But he was still alive. And I guess you get this whole sense he doesn't want to live anymore or whatever. It is kind of fucked up that he's going to choose to
ruin
yell
these other people's
and
day.
Make his noise next to them. Although I guess we don't really know. It definitely seems like these creatures come out and just kill the sound and that's it.
Yeah,
because
and John Krasinski obviously like knew that because the kid is thinking in his head, we're fucked. You can tell from his face, but John's like, no, be quiet. We're running over this tree. Mm-hmm. We're just going to, you know.
Right. That's kind of when you realize that, I mean, you get the sense that obviously these creatures like track everything through sound, but here is like you find out that they literally can't see, like like these creatures they're literally blind. Can only attack anything from the sound they make.
Right. So that was cool. You know, we get this, the dude kind of like scrunches his face up and just lets out this fucking like terrifying like
the weirdest face, dude.
And then so basically, you know, obviously our main characters are fine, they get out of this shit. And then I guess as all this is going on, we got Evelyn, Emily Blunt starting to go into labor.
Oh yeah.
Well, you know, not
like,
only
no,
that,
you can't do it yet.
Not only that, but Reagan runs away from home and leaves her pregnant mother alone.
All by herself.
Yeah, she's by herself. She goes
into
labor.
In all fairness, she wasn't supposed to be going into labor for like another one.
That's true. You do look. You just see the calendar at one point and it says due date, which you would assume. So, I guess they're just careful planners.
And how they knew when the due date was is beyond me.
But yeah,
they did some crazy stuff. But so basically she's going in labor early. We got that whole shot before where she was going up the stairs and kind of her whatever dress like tripped on the nail, and that's just like fucking pointing out.
Dude, that nail, man.
So we knew she was gonna step on it, and so obviously she's going in labor, going downstairs into the whole safe room and fucking, you know, step
right
on that nail.
I thought every fucking character was gonna step on that nail.
Oh, yeah.
Like the creatures, everybody.
That nail was gonna be the real villain of the movie.
They leave that nail there throughout, even after this.
And they keep showing it.
They do, and it's just I guess after that, it's just a
bloody footprint on it.
Yeah.
Oh man.
But basically, so that goes in her foot. It looks like it's gonna fucking come out the other side of her foot.
It does.
Thankfully that doesn't happen, but she does have to like pull her foot off of it. Just feel so bad for her.
I mean,
she's like going through hell right now.
Imagine being in labor and then stepping on a nail like that and not being able to make a sound.
I know.
I don't even know how you could.
I don't know.
I would immediately just die. Just immediately scream and be like, well, here, this is the end of me.
Power to Emily Blunt.
But strong woman. There you go.
But anyway, so she's going into labor. I guess as this is happening too is when Reagan is going to visit the kind of back on that bridge, the little makeshift grave site they made, which was also really sad and kind of cool. And then she puts the rocket there without the sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so it's kind of cool because she wires it. She's got the batteries in it. But
she like
takes
cuts
she wires
the cord.
Yeah, so that it's not making sound anymore, and
but
you just have
the
lights going there.
Right.
That was real cool. Kind of like imagery is nice. But so then, you know, more of this. I've told y'all before, I love when basically John Krasinski and his son are honored their way back to the fucking house.
See the lights
and the lights in the cornfield that they had rigged up. They're not yellowing where they're red, which she and Emily Blunt had like switched, like fucking help. Obviously, I was there for like a sign. And it's like getting dark and he sees those red lights and he just fucking like starts bolting And I just thought that, even though that's not like a jump scare or anything, there's just something like that's when like your heart kind of just
sinks. That's when you know shit's about to go down.
It's like, fuck.
The movie speeds up.
Oh, for sure. I've even seen people online criticize from this point on because the movie has very much of like a score going forward. And people are saying it really didn't need that. Although I don't, I mean,
it's like action scenes and stuff.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why? People are saying, I saw something online. Some dude was like, the sound in our theater like cut out for 15 minutes. And I thought that's how the movie was supposed to be. And he's like, I recommend all theaters turning off the sound during these 15 minutes. And I'm like, dude,
what is with like,
it's not going to happen. It's like, no, I mean, I think it, like you said, it's action scenes, you know, it's supposed to be like that. So it's, I don't know. He basically runs, and I don't think he forgets about his kid, but at the same time, he's thinking, my pregnant wife, like,
well,
that's
he didn't forget
my
about
goal.
Him. He told him what to do, you know, with the fireworks.
Right, with the fireworks. Right. And I guess you have faith in your kid, too, that they
and
probably
I think
practice
he was told,
that.
Like, the kid was told to, you know, stay there and wait until one of the parents came back to get him.
Right,
because so
they do
kind of
go to that after, where they're like, where are they? And they're like, they're smart kids. They're going to wait for us.
Well, when she went into labor, I don't remember what happened exactly, but something happened where something made noise, and she, so the monsters came and
started. Well, she screamed.
Did she?
I don't
remember.
Once the fireworks started.
Well, she screams when the fireworks start. Because then
before the fireworks start.
The monsters are already there.
They're in.
Oh, okay. Well, she dropped. Oh, yeah,
no, she turns on the little egg thing. The timer?
No, but there was already there.
When she was going down the stairs right before she steps on the nail, she was carrying something. And as soon as she steps on the nail, she drops the
It's a picture.
Yeah.
It's a picture frame.
Yeah, the frame, whatever.
The picture
so
frame
that's,
breaks.
Yeah.
Oh, so when
and
she,
that's when they came.
When she is going into labor, steps on the nail, drops
she makes like
whatever
a,
it is, she realizes like she had to hurry up, yank her foot off this nail, and then get to a bathtub. Right. And like she rigged a timer to go off and put it in a different
so she
could
get
part of the room.
Yeah, to make
so
sound. I completely
because she
about
knew
that.
They were coming, and she was like, I got to make a run for it pretty much. So she put it on the other side of the room and went off. Obviously the monster
runs.
Went over there and she ran upstairs to get in
very smart.
The tub so she could birth this child.
And then the fireworks go off
and that's
she,
when you realize
that's when
they had a plan for this all along.
Yeah. And she gives birth.
Right. And that goes back to the whole rule they set up with, you know, the loudest noise.
Right,
and it's
exactly.
Like, okay, so they had this all figured out, which I thought was, you know, really, really cool. And also just the image of like all this fireworks going off and the sounds. It was like,
and that's the
so
thing
cool.
with the fireworks. I think that's really cool because, I mean, there's a lot of other things that could have made that much of a sound, but I think the whole fireworks up in the sky and everything,
absolutely.
Just so Reagan could also see it. Because you've got to keep in mind, she can't hear shit.
Right.
You know?
So she can know what's going on.
Exactly,
and
that's the thing.
Also, we were talking before about how also fireworks, it's like a sound you can't pinpoint.
Right.
Right,
it's because people were saying, so aren't they going to go to the sound and like, fuck it? But it's like the fireworks up in the sky, the creatures were probably like fucking confused.
They were like, what the fuck's going on?
Because... Never mind, I'm not going to get into that. What? Someone's like the shotgun, but we can talk about that later. But yeah, so that obviously is cool. And I guess at this point now, Lee is like getting into the house and he kind of goes upstairs or downstairs or wherever and sees the tub and it's all like bloodied and stuff. And he's like, fuck.
He thinks
like,
she's dead.
He immediately, because
he's probably thinking
drops.
Like, there's no way she could have done this. And then you get the, you know, another jump scare kind of thing with her hand like in the shower. Right.
That I did jump bad on that one. Yeah. But you just see this like bloody hand hit the door to the shower and... And it's so sad, too, because you see John, like, drop to the ground, just like, my wife's dead. Like, the baby's dead, my wife's dead. And, like, you just see him hit, like, that part of, like, I'm sorry, I just got so distracted.
You're looking at us.
I just got so distracted, I'm sorry. But you just see it, like, hit him as hard as it did when his kid died. So, I don't know.
Yeah, no. I mean, it was just, it's crazy. It's very powerful. But then, and then they kind of go, me and Tyler loved this whole thing because they kept showing
mattress.
In the trailer, but, and we didn't even realize, I guess in the trailer,
maybe they
edited out the baby or something.
They edited out that like he's holding on to like
Emily
Blunt, right? And the baby.
Right. Cause basically he's taking, they're going underground.
So
which,
why
this
even
we
put
re-
that in the trailer? Like, it's so goofy.
That's what I'm saying. It's very goofy.
I mean, it's funny though.
I know you guys want to talk about this, but real quick, it just like right before they went to the house, I think that scene took place in right before when he was carrying Emily Blunt and she's not even holding the baby or whatever. That was right before it, right?
No, she was holding the baby.
Well,
I'm
you remember how her arms were like all over the fucking place and John's like holding her?
I don't.
When they were walking to the house, you remember? That's the whole thing when she said,
I wasn't even holding
the baby.
Yeah, I don't remember if that happens before they get downstairs or not, but that's when, she kind of goes back and she says, like, because obviously this is like an inner demon she struggles with. Right. And I was thinking back about when their youngest son died, and she says the whole thing about, like, my hands were free.
Yeah, like, who,
like,
who
I could have been carrying him. Like, right. We're, like, this whole thing about, like, are we bad parents? Yeah. But way worse than that.
I think that was maybe right before they walked into the house. Okay, I just wanted to.
But, yeah, obviously that's another very powerful thing, and you feel so bad for them. It's like they did just kind of fuck up, and it's another one of those things where you think back to, like, why weren't they carrying him?
Right.
Kind of like as a plot hole, and then you realize it's actually just, like, a character.
When she asked that question, like, who are we, you know, if we can't protect our kids, whatever, that hit me.
Oh,
for
sure.
That kind of sets up, like, the ending of the movie. But,
definitely. Yeah. But, yeah, so then just to the whole mattress thing is kind of funny. He goes and into, like, the kind of underground bunker soundproof room or whatever, and he just pulls the mattress over them. And in the trailer, that part is so funny. Obviously,
it's so funny.
In the context of the movie, not funny at all. Very smart that they have this whole underground basement, like, soundproofed, essentially. But, you know, really cool. They get under there.
And then the baby, like, starts crying.
Yeah.
And, like, the way they solve that is they have, like,
It almost looks like a miniature coffin.
Oh, my
God.
Not the oxygen.
Breathe.
Yeah. It's inside of this miniature coffin.
Well, they put the breathing mask on the baby.
They put, like, a breathing mask on it, and then there's a part where basically at this point they have to go and find the other kids because they're not with them, obviously. So there's a scene where John Krasinski puts the baby... And it has the breathing mask on, and then they put it in a box.
I know.
And
to be fair, this scene,
box.
I don't think the scene is goofy at all. I'm laughing more because they give you about a minute of context as if, like, they're putting the breathing mask on them, they're putting the baby in the box,
and
the
box has a hole in it,
like a breathing, like, the baby is not going to fucking suffocate in this box. But in our theater, and like I said, the theater was really good about, like, being quiet, but when they slide the door onto the box and the baby's in there, this somebody just, like, down in our theater just lets out this, like, audible, like, like the baby's gonna
fucking
die. I was like, dude, did you black out for the last minute? The baby's gonna be fine.
They're killing the baby.
It was just really fun, and I was laughing for about a minute. It took me kind of out of it. But.
From then on, he goes to find the other two kids, and they're in, like, what, this, like, corn silo?
Dude, yeah. And apparently, I looked that up because people were like, can you really die from, like,
you
drowning
can.
In corn?
Oh,
you
can.
Yeah,
for sure.
You
like,
definitely
like
can.
If someone falls in, you're fucked.
Yes.
I mean, I've seen that scene, like, in a lot of movies or whatever,
yeah.
TV shows.
And it's, like, terrifying.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, they basically fall into, like, this silo, and then eventually they get out. How do they even get out? Because the door falls.
The creature breaks in through the bottom.
They get out that way, but the way they survive is because when they fell the door falls
that's
in
right.
with
and
them.
They
so they use it.
Like,
kind of like in
Titanic.
The Titanic.
That's exactly what it is. You know, they both fit on the door, so.
Yeah,
so Jack and
fucking problem.
They could have done it.
Good point.
Easy.
Good point.
Oh, man. But yeah, so that whole thing is intense. There's a point where Reagan or the son goes underneath the corn pulling.
Well, technically,
dude,
they
that
both
part
do.
But one of them's pulling the other one's hand
and
out.
And you think, like,
that?
What is he going to pull?
And you
up?
Think, like, is he pulling out, like, the dead kid or is he pulling out the creature? What the fuck's going to happen?
Yeah.
And it ends
up
being another one of those.
Even,
just, like,
even with, when the hand came out, it looked weird at first, like the very first. I don't know.
Oh, it did. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because when the hand starts coming out, it looks like it's, like, limp.
Right? Yeah, I was like, what the fuck?
That's it.
Death by corn.
Jeez.
Yeah, which can happen, apparently. But then, so yeah, they do end up getting out of there, and John Krasinski's basically gotten to them now at this point.
But the monster's going nuts.
Yeah, the monster is going, because what even happens? Because they get a whole moment where they hug and everything.
The what?
Right?
I don't know. I think
I don't even remember, because they get out of the corn tower thing, and then, Lee, like, reunites with his kids, and they hug and everything. And then shit hits the fan again. I don't remember exactly what happens.
I think the fact that, like, the fireworks went off and, like, so much sound has been going on, I think, like, these fucking...
Maybe it was confused. Just
it's just going nuts, and, like, it's, like, hunting them, I guess. Yeah. Like, it knows that they're there.
Right.
And I feel like we forgot to mention, though, that you... Don't you find out when she's on the whenever they're in the corn or whatever that
right before I think are you talking about her ear thing?
Earpiece?
No, that was before she found her brother. You remember when she was running through the
I guess we didn't really touch on that, but you're starting to get these glimpses of like the hearing aid that her dad gave her is kind
of
got this.
It's like a high frequency.
The frequency fucks
with
them.
What is actually going to be like the counter to these creatures.
I was reading online. A lot of people were saying like. How stupid is she that she noticed? But you've got to keep in mind, she can't hear.
She can't
hear. She can't fucking see
what
the monster
is. She has no idea.
Her sense of like this whole world is different than even ours watching the movie because she's deaf. She doesn't really
understand. But basically, the sound is their weakness.
Right.
And the frequency completely like fucks them up.
Yeah, it starts fucking with them. So basically, then they're in the truck. It was a truck, right?
Well, the monsters come and they know that they're coming. So the dad, Lee's like, get in the truck. So they run towards this truck that apparently they had prepared for. They literally have everything prepared in this movie, anywhere they go. So they go and get in the truck. And
because the kid was even practicing in the truck like early on in the movie, wasn't he? So,
with the brake.
Cool. And I was like, what the fuck is he doing? Yeah, it makes sense.
I mean, yeah, the first encounter with the creature, Lee, I think he takes a swing at him with, I don't even remember.
It's like a rake or something.
A rake. Yeah.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
He raked that creature. But, and then, you know, obviously he gets attacked and then.
We're gearing up.
He screams so his kids can get away.
I can't even, I don't even want to talk about this part. It makes me so emotional.
And John Krasinski dies.
Yeah.
But it's in the worst.
To jump right to it.
Yeah, just to get the worst part
over
with.
Okay, it was very emotional because, I mean.
It is. It's hard to watch
throughout the whole movie, you know, it's his relationship with his wife. It's with his kids. So, you know, and they focus on that a lot. I mean, the movie isn't in any way about the creatures. I mean, the creatures they're complimentary, you know? They're just there. I mean, that's what it is. Well, it focuses on the family. It focuses on the relationships. And just the way that scene happened, I could have never imagined this movie be that emotional. Just the whole sign language. Yeah, you know, when his sign language is like I love you. I've always loved you.
Yeah,
and
as he dies,
and then he screams.
It's
kind of
like him saying it to his daughter after the son had told him earlier on, like, you need to tell her that
right.
you love
her. Yeah, like,
so he's doing it.
You see him and his daughter struggling with their relationship, like, throughout the entire movie. So, and he and his wife were literally just saying that, we need to do whatever we can to protect our kids.
And that's the thing.
So that's what he literally does. The one thing he can do is sacrifice himself for his children. And right before, which, oh my God, I can't even. I just started immediately tearing up.
I mean,
because
I kind of wish he hadn't died.
Oh,
for the way it happened was the movie, though, or the way it happened was perfect.
But I don't know. Part of me is like, I kind of wish he didn't die.
Well,
yeah,
I wish I was like a fan.
Him.
Yeah, like
but at
just kind of loving his character. I didn't want him to die, but I mean,
the way he sacrificed himself was perfect.
Really literally
was.
Perfect. Yeah, I mean, the whole movie kind of sets it up.
Only Man of Steel could have done it like that. Because they tried to.
What are you talking about?
Just the whole part.
I'm sorry, Clark could have easily saved fucking Jonathan. Because I mean,
it's the same
the part with the dad.
I was like,
what the fuck are you referring to?
No, it's that because honestly, I hate that when this was happening in the movie, that's where my mind went. And so for a set, I didn't start laughing or anything, but I was thinking back to that part, and I was like, this is so much better.
It's the way they did it was goofy, but I guess I kind of have just accepted it.
Oh, yeah.
Either way, though, in this movie, he literally signs to his daughter saying, I've always loved you. I love you. And
then that yell.
And
that
then
yell
he
lets out is just like.
Yeah, he lets out this huge scream.
It's
oh,
really
my
is,
gosh.
Yeah.
And that's the end of it. And his kids, like, roll down the hill in this truck.
Yeah, they hit
the
brake.
And just, like, go down. And then there's another one at the point where I thought the movie was basically almost over, and I guess it was, but then there is still more that happens.
Because
They get down there, and they go back into the house, and I guess the creatures now are fucking, you know.
Yeah, it's actually. I guess it's like at some point you think like, oh, the worst is over. Like they can just go and be with their mom and the new baby. And then
we didn't really talk too. Not that, I mean, the whole thing too, when like Emily Blunt's character woke up and like she was like fucking flooding in the basement.
Right.
Like, so she wasn't even done with like her whole ordeal. She went through more of like basically like tiptoeing around in this like flooded basement with a creature in there.
Scary.
Yeah.
In the fucking water.
Really, if you think about it, her character had the worst luck this entire movie, and then her husband dies, and she has to take care of the kids and a newborn by herself.
Exactly. I mean, dude, Emily Blunt, I mean,
she has the worst life
in
this movie.
Fucking amazing.
Mother of the Year.
She was seriously
Mother of the Year is
And the whole way she was cast, obviously, John Krasinski is the director, and I think maybe one of you guys told me this, or we were talking about it, like, she pretty much asked to be cast for this role, which is fucking perfect, because their chemistry, man, I mean, it transitions very well on screen.
Right.
You know?
Definitely.
And then from there, they basically come face to face with the monster, and that's when they figure out they're one of the monsters, and that's when they figure out that the frequency, like,
in the earpiece.
Yeah, that whole
earpiece really hurts him. And the daughter sees, like, all the earpieces that he made, so she sees that obviously he really did love her.
Yeah, that's very
powerful.
Because
he's been trying
to
do this for, like, a long time. And
dude,
then,
I mean, I started choking up at that part, too.
Powerful is right.
Very
emotionally powerful. That's what this movie was.
No way. I didn't expect this movie to be this emotional because all the reviews were saying, dude, this movie's
so
fucking
scary,
horrifying.
So
you know?
Scary,
yeah, it
right.
was not.
And I
it
guess
was
going into it and being people that kind of look at reviews beforehand, we kind of just thought like that's what this was like, it's so good because it's so scary. It's like such a
right.
good
it wasn't
movie,
really
but
about it being emotional.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
Was.
If
this
anything,
movie had horror elements to it, but like I think the story was just so much more.
Right.
I feel
really
it was
thought.
More scary in a sense of thinking about living in a world like that. is the most terrifying thing. Like, you have to try and live and, like, not make any mistakes, any sound. And so that concept in general is just, like,
because it's, like, no matter how good
thing.
You get at it, too, there's always just going to be
fuck
up.
Make, with, there's something, make, anything that can happen.
With a lot of actual horror movies or whatever, I know for me, myself, whenever I'm watching one of those movies, I always think, how fucking stupid are these characters? They always do something very, very stupid or, like, a stupid mistake or, like, you know, you're always wondering, why would they do that? Mm-hmm. They should be a little bit more careful. In this movie, I never really felt that way.
Or anytime you have that you ask that, they answer why they're doing it.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, this movie was very well thought out. The characters were, I mean, you know, they're prepared.
That's and basically, to pretty much finish, like, the plot stuff, like, they come face-to-face with the monster and then... She shoots it right once it's like head comes out or whatever
which is also really cool to see because it was one of those things where I'm really glad we didn't get too much backstory with the creatures or even too much of what they actually looked like but that I mean we saw what they looked like but it wasn't like these long shots on that whole thing where it's like head is kind of like the armor's coming off of its head and it's kind of like fucking freaking out I thought that looked so
cool. Very Alien very 10 Cloverfield Lane
it looked fucking awesome
and then basically they figure out that sound is its weakness and then the two more are coming and
that's the other thing when they show
that shotgun cut.
I love that but even when they show the two on the screen like fucking running that was very fucking creepy
the way the movie
but
ends
like, it's,
and
at
it
that
cuts.
Point you're not being scared anymore you're getting pumped when you see those things two creatures running and then Emily Blunt just like you know cocks back the shotgun and it's like fucking
and that's it.
Wait, I was reading another thing. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. Somebody online was on Reddit was also saying like
but you're wrong.
I do really love the ending but after Emily Blunt cocks back the shotgun she should have been let's kill these sons of bitches.
That's awful.
Horrible. Yeah. That person's opinion's wrong.
I think this
is
the same person that had the whole thing. Like, let's cut the audio out.
This man seems like the worst.
The whole movie's silent. Why the fuck would she say that?
You know, I meant to actually put that like whole quote in here. Why didn't I do that? Because this whole Reddit comment was like hilarious. I don't think I did it, but let me just double check.
That's so ridiculous, though, that a movie that has barely any dialogue, you want that to be one of the lines.
I'm glad that
you gotta be kidding me.
Oh, wait, like, if that was the final line, Jesus.
Wait, this is hilarious, dude. This is the same guy. He goes, I'm sorry to whoever this is. He goes, I also had a thought that perhaps people pay a little more for a different experience where people's phones would have been taken away, their shoes have been taken away, and there would be sand lining in the theater. And people would have to walk on that and sit down without making any noise. So crunchy food would have been served. Wait, no crunchy food would have been served. And whatever you
mashed
would.
Potatoes.
And whatever you would get to eat would be served on leaves. I would have paid for that.
Oh like a sick my fuck. God.
One question. How did little kid
he
know how to
really
line the batteries
it.
In the toy?
You know what? I kind of respect him.
I get what he's going
he
for.
He wants to have such a great experience.
He wants to have a good experience.
He's like, you know what? Let's go all out. Every
Put your socks on and take your shoes off.
He's like, I want to go into a theater with like trees and if I'm going to see Jumanji,
that's
I better have like
fuck.
A jungle.
In the fucking forest.
Yeah, I better be sitting in a forest.
That is funny
to watch
as
this
fuck.
Movie.
I know. I was sitting there laughing at work. I was like, what the fuck? On my break, of course.
You know.
Oh, man. All right, so we score it?
Yeah, let's score it. That's the let's do final thoughts and score it. Like I said, I thought it was really good. I kind of wanted to be scared more, but I understand that's not what the movie's about. So I guess it was more me, like my expectations kind of just...
I blame the internet for
it's
that.
It's the trailers, it's the expectations, the Rotten Tomatoes score, everything goes into that, but... I'd give it like a solid like 8.2 out of 10. I mean, I really enjoyed it. It's better than a lot of horror movies. So, yeah, I really liked it.
Yeah, I mean, y'all know I love this movie. I thought it was great. And like I said, I don't love horror movies. So going into it, I just wanted to see it because of how good I thought
it
looked.
And it's kind
of
fun.
It was.
It's a fun movie.
It is. It's a movie that you really kind of like. It's one of those things where I see a lot of movies that are really good, but I'm like, I couldn't watch that again.
It's like a chore.
And this is a movie. I mean, it's short, so that always helps. But this is a movie I could go watch again very easily.
Length is key.
Yeah, for sure. And so like I said, I thought it was going to be scarier, but I didn't necessarily want it to be that scary. So that part didn't bum me out. So, I mean, I give this movie a 9 out of 10. I thought it was great. Ooh. I loved it.
High roller.
Funny thing is, last time we talked about this movie, I gave it like an 8.5 or an 8 point something because, I don't know, I loved this movie too. But I feel like I just, for some reason, I was like, oh, I'm not going to score it that high. But talking about it again and thinking about it again, I honestly would do like 9.5.
I'd rewatch it, that's for sure.
Just because I feel like... It's such a simple movie, and it's so easy to watch, and you care so much about each of the characters. I think they do so well with that. And I also super appreciate the fact that John Krasinski literally said, like, I made this as a love story to my kids.
In an interview, that's what he said.
And what a dude.
And I'm just like, man, how can you not support everything this dude does?
I heard he's doing his next kind of project, is like a sci-fi, something on Mars, is what he's thinking about doing next.
Oh, can't wait. I love
how beautiful is that? Yeah, but yeah, so I feel like, honestly, I'd score it higher than I originally thought I would. And great movie.
What you got?
It's a number.
She said, I think
number. Oh, my bad. I said between like a 9.5. So like, let's 9.3.
Nice. I'm going to do it. Okay. Well, I'm going to stick with my rating from last week when we initially
I stuck with mine, too.
When we tried to do this.
Obviously, like I said, I've never really rated a movie out of 10. So I'm not going to for this movie either. I mean, it was a very simple concept. You know, I loved it. Just everything about it worked. All the actors, man. I mean, I don't know. There's nothing really that I could say I'd complain about with this movie. So I'm gonna go with a 9.5. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yes, sir. Good stuff. It's good stuff.
We love this movie.
Yeah, I think you can recommend it. Very much.
Although if you're listening to this, you hopefully saw it, or you just ruined it all for yourself. Yeah. So
if you're one of those people that wants the movie ruined, again.
Yeah,
go see it again.
I watched it again, that's for sure.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, that's the show.
That's us. We wrapping it up.
That's our first episode.
If you guys hear a lot of rain and thunder in the second half of this, we are sorry. I don't know how we're going to get that out.
But. Also, I completely apologize if you keep hearing me cough. I don't know what's happening to me.
She's been sick for like
4 months.
I'm
not sick. I think it's allergies. All I'm saying is I apologize. So, you know.
Okay.
I thought it'd be nice to apologize. Never mind. I take it back.
No, you can't take that
you're not
back.
Forgiven.
Either way. Okay. I guess we're wrapping this up. This first episode.
Yeah, I mean, we really hope you enjoyed it. We had a lot of fun doing it. The show is going to evolve as we go. We'll probably get a lot better at it.
We're going to talk about a lot of different things.
If not, cool. I super enjoy doing it, so I hope keeping to do it.
Yeah, I hope you're still listening, and if so, just keep coming back.
Keep on keeping on. You know?
We appreciate any views or listens or whatever. So
share with your friends. Tell them we're great.
For sure.
Missed the bus. Share that with your friends.
That's it. That's the show.
Yep.
That's
the show. I'm blue, I've a need, I've a died, I've a need, I've a died.